This morning, Rick Reams is going to join us. If you guys don't know Rick Reams was, he was the Vineyard. He was our Vineyard pastor for a while. He was there with us for a long time. He was the first one I knew. So I'm excited. Just because he's bald, we're not brothers. All right. I see the resemblance, right? We're about the same age. I get it. Okay. But we're not brothers. He got the height. I didn't. I was informed of that this morning as well. So I'm excited for what Rick's got for us this morning. So let's open our hearts and let's hear what God's got for us.
Well, thank you all. It's so good to be back this morning. As some people have said, some of you know me, some of you don't know me. Stephanie, my wife, this one does. But other than that, that's it. So for about 19 months, we were the campus pastor across the way here. And Facebook has its positives and its negatives. One great thing about Facebook was it reminded me that it was 5 years ago yesterday that I preached my last sermon in Frankfurt. For you kids, you younger adults, you won't understand this, but 5 years snaps by. So it's amazing how quickly things go. But we have such fond memories of the folks, and we see so many familiar faces that we love you guys. And then for the new people that are here, this is a great congregation, a great place for you all to get plugged in. And I'm happy you're here. If you want to talk to me about baptism, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I won't be performing it, but I can... I know a couple things about it, so we can do that. You know, I put out on Facebook, I've always learned that you want to kind of tease your sermon a little bit. So I put out on Facebook that the title of my sermon today is about a four-letter word. And it made people think. I had so many people at work that I didn't even know looked at my Facebook that said, "What is the word?" And I said, "Well, I can't tell you." Actually, I ended up telling them. But the four-letter word this morning that we're going to talk about is the word rest. Because, you know, in today's world, rest has a negative connotation. You know, we hear all the time about there's no rest for the weary. You're sitting down on the job. Just don't sit there. Do something. It was interesting. One of my friends at work, when I told her what the word is, she said, "I actually wish it was a different word." Because she said, "I don't like that word." She said, "I'm not good at that." And I think we all, if we look in our lives, can admit that we're not always good at rest. I want us to look at some scripture and some different things that God has put on my heart. And I want you to know that when God gives me an idea for a message, it's usually because it's a message I need to hear. And it's a message that I step on my own toes. So I want to tell you, I'm not coming up here preaching at you. I'm preaching to you and with you. Because these are things that I need to work on. And my wife sitting up here on the front row will tell you this, and I will talk about that some during the message. In Mark 6:31, it says this, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" You know, we think in Jesus' time, maybe things were slower. Maybe things didn't quite move as fast. But we can see in this scripture that that's not the case. That they were busy. They were busy doing things. They were going places. They were always doing something. But if you know anything about Jesus and you know anything about the Bible, Jesus prioritized rest. He prioritized getting away from the crowds. And that's what he wanted his disciples to do. So today I want us to look at some aspects of rest that I think can help us. The first thing is that rest can require us to take action. Because you see, I don't know, by looking at me, it's not, I don't look like this, but have you ever been too busy to eat? I think we all have. We're so busy, we say, "I don't have time for that." Now, the way I face that is, I'm too busy to eat good things. I can find times to run through McDonald's, which I did yesterday, which, just a side note, I will never do that again. I'm too old for that. But I will do that. But sometimes the noise around me is so loud that I get too busy to rest. You see, just as Jesus invited his disciples to a quiet place, he invites us also. But you see, we have to make a choice to get away and rest. Because you see, the world will tell you, keep on going. You can't stop. You've got to keep on where you are. Have you ever said these words to you, to yourselves or to your family? I need a vacation after my vacation. Have you ever done that? I know every time we went to Disney World, I would come home and I was totally exhausted. That's what we're talking about. You need to find a place to rest. How do you find that? When you're there, what hinders you from rest? Now, Stephanie will tell you, I came from a family, my dad had our vacations planned out every day what we were going to do. There was no rest. And when we started vacations, that's how I did it. My wife's a lot smarter than I am, and she would say, you get to plan one day, and the next day we have no plans. And I started enjoying those no-plan days more and more. And that's how I was able to find rest. You see, my wife and I are going to be married for 38 years on August the 10th. And we're going to take a trip out to Arizona for a long weekend for our anniversary. Now, it was a great idea when I scheduled the trip, but I don't know if you've seen, Arizona's like everywhere else. The month of July, they're going to be over 100 degrees every day. It's setting a record. The lows at night are in the 90s, and that's exactly where we're going, right in the middle of the heat in Tucson, Arizona. But what we talked about is, in order to find rest, the one thing we're doing is we're putting these away. While we're there, our kids can call us, text us, whatever, if there's an emergency. But checking Facebook and Twitter and for her Instagram, Facebook and Twitter are my things, is going to be done. We're just going to go and rest. But you see, sadly, I have to make a conscious effort to do that. So what I want to tell you is the tough choices you're going to make to take action, you're going to have to make those decisions. You have to be keenly aware what allows you to rest. And friends, it's going to be different for all of us. Some of us rest in different ways, but you're going to have to do it. The next thing rest is that rest may require a no. Have you ever noticed that even doing too many good things can wear you out? You know, my mother, who is 85 years old and is in a nursing home right now, is a very, very wise woman. And I'll never forget the day years ago when she called me. And she said these words to me. She said, Rick, I want to talk to you about a tiny little two-letter word that you apparently think's a bad word. Well, I was dumbfounded. I had no idea where this conversation was going. She said, Rick, you have trouble with the word no. She said, that's what you have trouble with. She said, the problem is, Rick, that you say yes to everything. And she said, especially in church work, as you can imagine. But then she hit me with something I never thought of. She said, Rick, by you saying yes to everything, it keeps other people from using their God-given talents that are supposed to do the jobs that you're saying yes to. She said, you need to realize that just because they haven't said yes yet doesn't mean that God's not going to lead them into that position. But she said, when you say yes, it keeps them from that position. And you see, as mothers usually are, she was right. And I'll tell you how smart my mother is and how open she was with me. And this has nothing to do with the message, but it's one of my favorite stories of my mom. Stephanie and I did Weight Watchers many years ago, and again, you can't tell that now, but I was down to 183 pounds. And I thought, man, I am doing awesome. And my mom walked in, and she looked at me, and she looked around the room, and she said, so, Rick, are we going for the cancer patient look, or what are we doing here? Now, only your mother could tell you that. Now, the great thing is, when she sees me now, I'm like, Mom, we're not there anymore. So, but she was smart enough to tell me what I needed. You know, folks, today we need to realize that overscheduling is a common problem. Do you have time in your day to rest? To a lot of us, the answer is no. And we need to make a conscious effort to say no. This next one's kind of hard. Rest can require us to make some tough choices. There are some things that prohibit us from rest, and sometimes that's other people. Sometimes people will drain you from rest. And I saw this one day, and I thought, man, it's harsh, but it's so true. If someone makes you miserable more than they make you happy, it doesn't matter how much you love them, you need to let them go. You see, misery will drain you quicker than anything else. You can try to fool yourself and think, okay, but I can handle this person. But friends, in truth, sometimes letting someone go is the best thing you can do, not only for rest, but also for your mental health. But then another way to look at this is with this one. Be with those who bring out the best in you, not the stress in you. And we're all smiling because we know those people that are on both ends of that spectrum. We need to gravitate towards those that bring out the best in us. You see, not only will they allow you to rest, but they bring that out in you. A true friend will see that you are stressed beyond the point of health and will tell you that you need to find rest. So friends, what I will tell you is find those people and hang with them. Rest may be forced upon you. It says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And I have to tell you that God about every 5 years has to remind me of that fact. And it's not his fault, but about every 5 years something happens. I had back surgery in 2011. 2015, I ruptured my Achilles tendon. Both those times, I was forced to rest. Some of you know this, some of you may not, but last year, I had a perforated colon with serious complications afterwards, and I almost died. And rest was forced upon me. But you see, what I'm learning is during those times, when it's forced upon me, that's when I understand how important rest is. Because when I can't do anything else, then I rest. You see, what God was showing me was I was too busy. But the things he showed me I was too busy from were the things that broke my heart. I was too busy for my wife. I was too busy for my kids. I was too busy for my grandkids. But the one that he showed me the most was I was too busy for him. I was too busy. Now, I'm going to admit something here in front of you all because you're the church where I was when this happened, and I hate to admit this, but I was too busy for God when I was serving this church. And that's because I was doing so many things that I didn't take time to worship. And I need to tell you, that's totally on me. And Sherry and Stephanie know this many times during worship, I would come in and do my job, and then I'd run back to the office to put out fires and come back in and close at the end. And over time, that took an effect on me because I wasn't spending time with God. And that may be a strange thing for you to think that a pastor would say, but I want you to know it's pretty common in the pastor field. We have to take time to step away. That's why when Justin called me, he said, I'm on vacation. I said, that's awesome. And he messaged me the other day, and I said, I'm not answering your messages. You're on vacation. You stay on vacation. Because, you see, that's why we need this. At our church, my pastor's getting ready to start a month sabbatical. And I've told him the same thing. Don't message me. I don't want to hear from you. Because we need time away. But, you see, in your own lives, the same thing can happen. You can get too busy for God. But the great thing I love about my God, my Savior, is when I come back, he's right there. He doesn't hold any grudges. He just says, welcome back. Let's get together. So please don't be too busy. I want you to know, though, that your experience may not be as crazy as mine was. Last year after I had my surgery, about 3 days later after being home, I was rushed back to the hospital in an ambulance and had more surgery, And I woke up in the ICU on a ventilator. And I thought, how in the world did I get here? You want to talk about being still? And you want to talk about priorities really coming into play? Friends, when you almost die, things get a lot clearer. Now, I hope and pray that you don't have to go to the extremes that I went to. But I do want you to know that sometimes rest will be forced upon you. Now, rest is a promise. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, Jesus promises to give us rest. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Have you tried to find rest on your own, but you just can't? You see, that's because you can't find it on your own. We're not made that way. But notice, it doesn't say stay where you are and find rest. It says come to me. And that's the key. We have to come to Jesus to find that rest. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to find rest? I had an experience with my dad who the last 4 or 5 years of his life, he was constantly sick. He had had bladder issues the last 20 years of his life. He had an inbred catheter, and he had UTI infections constantly. And we knew that that would finally kill him, and it did. But one time he was so very sick, and he ended up in the ICU for a couple weeks. And they said, "We cannot find the source of infection. We're going to have to go do an MRI right now. It's so serious, we don't know if he's going to make it through this." Friends, what do you do when they tell you that they're taking your dad and you may not see him again? And I sat there, and God put this scripture on my heart because my dad was not a patient man, and my dad was weary, and my dad was burdened. And I went to him, and I whispered this scripture to him. And I think he sighed, and he finally rested. But it took him to get to that point. Now, thankfully, my dad came back to me, and he didn't rest again. But at that moment, he had it. And let me ask you, what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Go to Jesus and find some rest. Now, rest has been around as long as creation. Genesis 2:2 says this, "By the seventh day, God finishes the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." So God rested. His work was done. He gave us an example. Most of you in here have jobs. How are you doing at resting from your job? That's a tough one sometimes, to look in the mirror and see how you're doing. Some of you, again, know this. Some of you don't. I was a dentist in Lexington for 30 years. The first 10 years of dentistry, I really enjoyed it. The last 20 years of dentistry, I was absolutely miserable. A lot of that was brought on by myself. That just wasn't my thing, but I didn't know what else to do. The biggest miserable part of it for me was I could never get away from work. You see, when you're a dentist, I didn't realize this when I first got in it because my dad was a physician. I saw he had nighttime call and all this stuff, and I thought, hey, a dentist doesn't have to worry about that. But I got calls constantly. I had my own practice. So when I went on vacation, I still had bills to pay. I still had a staff to pay. I could never get away from work. I'll never forget the week I closed my practice. The first thing I did was Sherry and Doug asked me to do this, the event at the university. Sherry, we sold merchandise or something. That was the first thing I had done when I closed my practice. And I looked around and I thought, I can just enjoy this concert. Because I didn't have that worry, I could finally find rest. Now, hear me. I'm not telling you all to go out and quit your jobs tomorrow. What I am telling you, though, is please don't go where I was. You need to be able to find rest. And if you're not able to in your job, talk to someone about how you can get more rest. And it could be that God's leading you somewhere else. Genesis 2:3, right after this, talks about rest needs to be a routine. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. You see, God made the seventh day holy because he rested. And this is the part that I'm kind of talked to my friend at work who told me that she just isn't good at this part. I think God has ordained rest. And when we don't rest, we're not following God's will for our life. And that's hard because we think, well, go, go, go is the way to go. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to rest. You see, if resting is holy and God calls us to do that, why do we have so much trouble resting? Let me ask you a question. How often do you get rest? Now, I would have said before, well, I take a vacation once a year when I have my dental practice. We go the July 4th week every year. I get rest then. I didn't get rest then, but that's what I would have said. But don't you see, once a year for 1 week is not what God has called us to do. Is your body telling you that you need to rest? You see, I'm learning. I'm 60 years old now, and I'm learning to try to listen to my body. And again, I'm going to give my wife credit on this because she opens my eyes to things I don't see. I am the catering lead at Chick-fil-A in Lexington, and I have to be at work every morning at 6 o'clock. And I get up at 5 o'clock, and that's okay. I'm a morning person. And a couple weeks ago, I went into work on a Saturday, and I could tell on my way there that I wasn't feeling very good, and I got into work, and I got extremely nauseous. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can count maybe on one hand, for sure two hands, the number of times I've thrown up in my life. To me, throwing up is the worst thing you could ever do. To my wife, she said it makes you feel so much better, and you just go on with it, and I totally disagree. But, excuse me, just one second. But I finally sat down, which should have been my first indication. I sat down for a couple minutes, went back to work, and I started feeling better. And about 11 o'clock, this wave of nausea came on again. Well, not only do I not want to throw up, but at our restaurant, we only have bathrooms for customers and for the employees. And both times I ran into the bathroom, the men's bathroom was full of people. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I went back out and I sat down. And it passed again. And I came home and I told Stephanie, I said, Stephanie, I've been so nauseous today, I can't figure it out. And she looked at me like, you know, your wife looks at you. And she's like, honey, you're exhausted. Because you see, I had been trying all that week to find a nursing home for my mom that had a Medicaid bed available. And I had been doing everything I can from the time I got home from work, literally until I went to sleep. I called tens, 20, 40, 60 places all over the state of Kentucky. And I finally found a place. But I was exhausted. And she said, lay down and take a nap. And it's amazing how much that helped. Now, again, I told you at the first of this that I'm preaching to myself here. And that's one thing that I've had to learn. I've got to try to find daily a time to rest. When we left here, we were living in an apartment in Lexington, which we absolutely loved. It was beautiful. And then our granddaughter came. Little Lydia came, and we knew, man, we need more space. So we decided we wanted to rent a house somewhere. in Lexington. And we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked. We could never find the right house. And my wife, I love this about her, she had made a list of the 10 or 11 things she wanted in a house. And she wouldn't let me really see the list. And we'd go and, which she's smart because, you know, I'm pretty good for maybe two or three things, but she had her things. But we looked at, there was not a house that fit the bill anywhere. And one day we're driving to look at a different house, and on this road that we've driven on 1,000 times, there was a for rent sign. And I told Stephanie, that sign has never been there before. And even though this was a two-lane road with no real place to pull over, I pulled over right then, and I stopped and I called. And I said, you have to promise me I'll be the first one to see this house, because what we've learned is with rental houses, just like buying a house, you know, people just come and see it and it's gone. And the guy's like, well, there's someone living there, but okay, I'll let you do that. And I said, Steph, let's pull around here and let's walk. There's a little park behind it. Let's walk and see if we can see the back of the house. Well, we started walking and we looked up and my wife starts crying. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I guess this isn't the house. But then she showed me her list, and the last thing on her list was, I'd love to have some water by our house. And don't you know, friends, in the back of our house is a creek that runs, and we have a little spring in our yard that goes there. The reason I tell you this is the place I can now find rest is in the backyard at my house. I sit and I rest. And I've honestly never done that before. But you see, God knew what I was going through, what I would be going through. And I told Stephanie when I got out of the hospital, I just want to go home and sit on our porch. And that's how I find rest. My challenge to you today is, where's your place to find rest? If you don't have one, find one. If you don't have one, make one and make it a priority to get there and rest. Because you see, friends, in today's world, it's so easy to get trapped in the rat race, to be the Energizer Bunny, to go, go, go. Hopefully and prayerfully this morning, you have heard that God prioritizes rest. Because you see, friends, God wants you at your best. And you cannot be at your best when you are exhausted, when you're tired, when you're frustrated. So today, my hope and prayer is that you will prioritize rest. My hope and my prayer is that you'll take a serious look at how you're doing in the rest game. And today, although rest is still a four-letter word, I hope you see that rest is a positive four-letter word given to you from your Father who loves you immensely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.